Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Blue claws, bluefish, blowfish. If you want to travel a little bit, bluefin. The bite is happening. Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 10th and 11th. Full disclosure, we're in the studio early on Friday afternoon because we're going to be wade fishing this week. We're going to be up and down the coast all over the place. Too much fishing opportunity going on in the central and southern tier counties of the great state of New Jersey. But I will have to give a shout out to Roger Nessel. Very, very cool conservation officer retired up there in North Jersey, Sussex County. Long time no see, Roger. Well, last time I saw Roger was at the Trappers Convention up there at Space Farms. Roger used to be a hell of a guy out there in the field. And Roger, thanks for listening. I heard through the A-Man that you tune into the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Hope to see you again sometime soon, Roger. But listen, it is going nuts. Also, again, the weather's been crazy. The flounder bite in the back is still going nuts. Weak fish, if you can find them. I'm going to say this in a little bit in the next segment. Freshwater pickerel have been crazy, but bass, find the little these little ponds, these little hideaways. They are absolutely loaded. Topic for this weekend show is the Cape May County fluking situation. It ain't easy, but if you learn it from the backwaters out to the Cape May Reef and the deeper areas out there, it'll challenge you, it'll test you. But it can really pay off. So grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back with Jerry Vessels. Yeah, Three Girls Skirts, and also the promoter of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. He's a Cape May Deepwater Flounder ace, sharing some of his secrets back and front. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It happens on occasion, maybe once every 2 months or something like that. I had a blog on ESPN called Bass Puddles. And they picked it up, I guess, the main Google thing or something like that. Hey, man, I saw you. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The blog was about, I'll tell you, hiding in plain sight. Hiding in plain sight. Some of these small ponds that just loaded with big, large. You see kids there, you know, catching sunnies or bullheads. Or you, maybe they're stocked in the spring or fall with trout. I see some people trout fishing after a couple of weeks, they give that up. These are hidey holes for some big ass, large mouths. So that's what the blog was last week. Thanks. And this week, I think I dropped it in there. Hopefully it's going to be, it was put out yesterday. About getting the last in on the sea bass. 9 days, 10 days left, closes the 19th. And this has been a year unlike, I should say, any other I've seen in decades. A lot of party boat and charter boat captains I spoke to, same thing, guys. I've been fishing 30 years, 40 years. I never saw it like this. And it sort of overshadowed the fluke fishing, a.k.a. summer flounder. And that's been pretty actually spotty with the wind, the cold water, up, down, up, down. It's been picky. I've been doing my share of it. But I'm just fascinated and intrigued. It's such an enigma down here down about 10 miles down the road when you get into Cape May County, starting in Ocean City all the way down to Cape May Point. Fluking the Cape. You have the ICW back there. I did it from Ocean City down there through Whale Creek, down through Strathmere, down through Sea Isle, down through Avalon. I mean, and I'll tell you that, I guess, middle to lower township especially in the back can be vexing. But you also have some great flounder opportunities out front. The Cape May Flatty situation. Called in an expert on this. It's Mr. Jerry Vessels. You know him. He is the owner of Three Girl Skirts Fishing Tackle LLC, specializing in 2, 3, and 4-ounce ultra-minnow style squid jigs. His stuff absolutely kicks ass. Also, the owner and owner, promoter, CEO, head muckety-muck of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Had it in 6 years. They lost two with COVID, but wildly successful. The first show on the docket in January, if this past January was any indication, who knows what January 2024 is going to hold. Able to get a hold of him just as he came off the water. He did all right. Now, to me, let's see. I like to fluke fish within sight of the beach. If I'm out front, I'm not even sight of the beach. Vessels and his crew, but besides doing okay in the back, they venture forth the old grounds, Reefside 11, all this stuff, for some big doormat and area rug flatties with his three girl skirts. Join us on the line right now. I want to get into fluking the lower Cape, especially the opportunities available, because you hit it right like any place else. It can be dynamic. Jerry Vessels, Mr. Promoter, how are you?
Tommy P, man, I'm doing wonderful. How are you, sir?
Dude, you're knocking down. I'm hearing your fillet knife slicing through all the way up here, 20-something miles away, man.
We were slicing a dice, and we had a problem catching small fish today. So I guess it's a good problem.
That's a good problem to have, man. That's a good problem to have. Well, Charlie, like we discussed over the years, listeners, I haven't had a chance to fish during my lovely D. Marie, neither is she, but want to get out there. I'm vexed, Jerry, with the complexities of, you know, fluking one thing. This fish are very moody. We know this, the tide change, little drop in water temperature. But, Jerry, to me in particular, middle township down, lower township, Cape May fluke have attitude, be it in the back or be it out front. I don't know if it's the structure or what. But it's a tough deal when you're trying to learn it, no?
It's not easy, Tom, and it's all about putting time in. That's the biggest thing. And some days you think, oh, what the heck am I doing? And there are the days that you have to take a deep breath and really concentrate on what you're doing, because this is where you're honing your skills at. When you're busy on the boat, you're not honing any skills. When you can take your time and actually think about what you're doing, that's when you hone them skills, and you get to learn how the wind's pushing you and how you're going to back troll and what you're doing, your correct speeds and corrections and all that fun stuff that people just think happens.
Jerry, I remember we discussed this several times over the years. Again, listen, it's been my fault, the scheduling, whatever. I have the opportunity to fish with this guy, and he is badass on these flatties. But, Jerry, you said that this year in particular – now, listen, I've been doing well up there in Barnegat Bay, Lower Barnegat Bay, Great Bay, down Great Egg Harbor Bay, hitting some of the back there by Ocean City. But you said the weather pattern this year, the fluke behaved differently. The big ones, what, they were in or out or only hung out for a while? You made some points there about the fact that it wasn't a cold winter and the fluke reacted to the habitat on the migration. What happened?
Yeah, I'm thinking that it just was not the cold winter, and the water temperatures never dropped out front below like 43, 44 degrees. It seemed like all winter. And them fish, you know, they're very sensitive to, they don't have a calendar. They go by water temperature. Water temperature signifies them to move offshore. Water temperature never got to that point. Did they actually leave? Now the water starts to warm up again in the spring, which it hasn't been the warmest spring. It's still only low 60s in the back bay, but them fish came in. Them fish may have been in the back bay in February and March, you know, more so than the normal migration pattern of April, May. You know they're here in March, but April, May, when it's really good, and then they move out, you know, but it's been, the fishing down here has been spotty at best.
Right.
In the back, there's been some days it's fantastic. Other days you're getting one or two bites, you know, one or two shorts, something like that. The wind has wreaked havoc on things. But one thing that people have to remember, and I just witnessed it as we were coming through the inlet here, there's like 30 boats all piled up in a little tiny section because it's breezy out.
Mm-hmm.
And the boaters are hiding themselves from the wind. The fish don't know it's windy. The fish are going to be in the spot that they're normally in. It's just like, you know, when you, the different colors on the bucktail are for the customer, not for the fluke. And that's, people are all hiding from the wind, but the fluke aren't hiding from the wind. The fluke are still in them same local haunts, waiting at them little estuaries to, you know, on the outgoing tide, they're sitting there to ambush. And like I said, there must have been 30 boats sitting in a quarter mile space. And I'm thinking, I know there's not that many fish there.
Jerry, the outgoing, prime time now, that's a prime period, warmer water coming out. When do you notice the switch to, or the incoming's a better dealio?
I think when it just gets a little bit warmer, you know, like in the early spring, the outgoing tide seems to be a little bit better because the water gets up in them flats and it gets nice and warm.
Mm-hmm.
The big fish get active, and then fluke are just sitting there waiting for the stuff coming out of the marsh or along the sod banks and everything else, or any kind of, at that point, it would be a decline, not an incline, you know. And when the water gets warmer and the bait fish are a little more active, it seems like at that point, you're just going with the flow, and you have motion. And then fish are eating on both sides of the tide.
Okay, join us online today on Rack and Fin Radio is Jerry Vessels, owner of Three Girl Skirts Fishing Tackle, LLC, specializing in 2, 3, and 4-ounce ultra minnow style squid skirt jigs. He's also the owner, promoter, CEO, and big boss man of the wildly successful Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Jerry, a little non sequitur real quick. What's the date for 2024?
The date for 2024 is January 6th and 7th. 2024.
First one on a dock. People, spend that Christmas money because there's deals galore. Well, Jerry, we'll get into that maybe if we have a couple of minutes left in another segment.
But again, Jerry, we're over 75,000 square feet of indoor display area for 2024, Tom.
Billy, he's killing me. He's killing me. Well, Jerry, we'll talk about that a little later. But, Jerry, insofar as the fluke now, especially I notice they really, like, 1 or 2 degree difference really, you know, make them put the lockjaw down.
It does. The temperature change, especially in the shallow water, 1 or 2 degree temperature makes such a huge difference. Today we were fishing 85 feet of water and,
on 85
feet. Today what happened was initially 7 a.m. we had a great bite. We had 6 fish in a box by 8 a.m. We dropped lines at 7. We had 3 keeper fluke, 3 keeper sea bass by 8 a.m. Then the wind changed. Just a subtle change in the wind. Fish got lockjaw. Tide turned an hour and a half later. Fish turned back on.
Jerry, before we get to really pounding the next segment, out front, you know, some spots and techniques and tackle, whatever. About the back there, from... Again, all my years down there in Ocean City from, you know, the Great Egg Harbor Bay all the way down, different bottom structures, it seems, down through the ICW, down through Whale Creek and Strathmere, et cetera. And then you get down to Cape, you always hear, what's it, grassy sound, right?
Grassy
like the Wildwood Area, grassy sound, it gets pounded. What is it about that area as opposed to others that makes it such a fluke magnet?
I'm thinking like Turtle Creek is a natural waterway and it gets deep. There's times when them fish, they don't have to move in and out with the tide. They'll just kind of move a few feet. Tide comes in, they move up the bank. Tide goes out, they sit down in the deep channel, and it's just a highway for bait coming through there on both sides of the tide. Even though that's a contradiction to what I just said regarding water temperature, but in that, like, Turtle Creek, Hereford's Inlet, same thing.
Hereford's Inlet, yeah.
Big body of water.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of water moves through there. It's all clean ocean water coming in there. And, again, you have different bottoms. There's a bunch of holes. There's structure. And it makes a difference. Turtle Creek is one of the – has been a hotbed for fluke for as long as I can remember. And it's still good. At times, it's not as good as it used to be, but – there's times when you see, again, when there's 15 boats fishing in a little tiny creek.
Yeah.
There's a reason that there's 15 boats fishing in that area.
Jerry, the bottom structures, though, I mean, more mussel beds down your way? Again, that middle to lower township, or is it more a rock, a coral? What is it that makes it a fluke magnet?
We have the mussel on the side banks are loaded with mussels. Another thing that, and I can't say where it came from. I know there's large areas where it's all old clamshells. And I mean, the clamming industry in Wildwood proper itself was huge for, there's still clam boats there, but most of the time they're going up to Atlantic City, but there's still 5 or 6 clam boats in Wildwood. The amount of clamshells in certain areas.
Right.
And that bottom is just, you know, it's a little bit sticky and icky, but it seems to produce very, very well. Consistently.
Jerry, in the back right now, spearing moving in, bay shiners, glass minnows. Well, what's the main forage? I mean, besides the crabs, I know the fluke chat out, who doesn't like crabs? But bait fish wise, I mean, look, minis in the ditches naturally, but what's out in that main area?
in the main area right now, I'm going with the Shiners. I mean, Shiners showed up already. Shiners are here.
Oof, yeah.
Everything loves the Shiners. The spearing, you can find spearing from the Back Bay out to the canyons, and everything eats it. I think that spearing is like the number one foraging food in the back. There's some grass shrimp around, you know, but it's the spearing.
As Tom P. says, the spearing is endearing. Hey, Joe, we're up against a hard break, hanging you in for another segment. We're speaking with Jerry Vessels. Topic is Cape May County, and for basically middle township, lower township down, the Cape May fluking situation. It can test you. Oh, man, I'm good up there. I'm fishing the Manasquan. I'm the Shark River. Man, I'm good up there. I'm good up there off AC. Get down to the Cape. The vagaries down there, the bottom structures, the difference of the flows, these fish are super capricious, could make you pull your hair out if you have any.
I don't have any.
People, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio with Jerry Vessels talking Cape May fluke.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Fox on Tech.
There's an old social media joke that Instagram is Twitter for people who can't read. It means that Instagram is dependent on photos, so there's no need to type up your thoughts in a confined space of characters like Twitter. Except that might be changing soon. Meta, the company that owns Instagram and Facebook, is getting ready to unveil a new social network codenamed Project 92. Though according to the website The Verge, some internal documents suggest the app, when released, could be called Threads. It looks like Twitter. It's a stream of text postings mostly. But unlike Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, this Meta product promises to be decentralized, meaning you can use it with servers of your choosing, not confining you essentially to a single social network. Meta says this is how they plan to compete with Elon Musk's operation of Twitter, and they plan to make it public as soon as they can with Fox on Tech. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Shopping for your next vehicle? Visit Boardwalk Honda. Shop your favorite models, all priced for your lifestyle and budget. We have it all from store to shore, including the Honda Accord, Civic, Pilot, and more. In the market to customize your vehicle? Visit preordermyhonda.com, where your next vehicle is just clicks away. Just log on, build your perfect Honda, and reserve. It's that easy. When it's ready, we'll notify you to schedule pickup or delivery. At Boardwalk Honda, we're committed to getting you approved and on the road in no time. We work with all credit situations. We partner with over 25 top financial lenders to help get you the best rates possible. Looking to trade in an upgrade? We'll buy your vehicle. Any make, model, or year. We're paying top dollar. Hurry in and drive home your brand new Honda today. Located in Egg Harbor Township. Or shop our complete inventory online at BoardwalkHonda.com. And remember, from Maine to Miami, nobody beats a Boardwalk deal.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 10th and 11th. Full disclosure, like I said in the opening statement, we are here early Friday afternoon because we're going to be away fishing our collective asses off this week in all parts of Jersey, mid-central and down south, and hopefully over to Delaware Bay. But we're talking with Jerry Vessels right now. Man, that lower Cape May fluking. Well, Jerry, question. Let's break this down right now. I know you're a proponent of deep water flounder. You're like to me, it's like being a rhino or elephant hunter. I mean, you are in the bleep. You know what I mean? But Jerry, within a couple of miles of the coast, out to a few miles. I mean, you have some great reefs. So there you have the Townsend Inlet Reef, the Wildwood Reef, the Cape May Reef. Do you just jump from the back and you and your crew go out to the deepers, or do you hit mid-range, you know, for lack of a better term, mid-range or inshore fluking areas as well?
Actually, at this time of year, we bypass the mid-shore stuff, the 8-10 mile stuff, and we go. Today we took a ride. You know, it was 18 miles from the inlet, but we did that for a reason, and that's because it's just been. Historically, this time of year, that 80, 90 foot of water is holding the fluke, holding keeper sea bass still. And inshore, it's just a swanky temperature, you know, in 60 degree water where it's not the back and it's not the deep. So the water temperature, again, how important it is. There may be some fish at Cape May, but not enough to get excited about.
Joe, the bottom structure you're targeting, give it up.
Today was subway cars, tanks, concrete, tires. We had a wide assortment today.
Well, you're on a reef then, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's artificial.
Which one? Give
we
it
were
up.
At the. No, we.
I get it. You're good. You're good. You gave up the bottom. Hey, man, I thought Tog-like tanks. But Fluke, I mean, they love those things. And the railway cars and the caisson door areas.
Oh, they love it all. And today, it was actually, the reef was kind to us. We only lost maybe a half a dozen jigs between three of us. So it was really, really kind to us.
Jared, are the electric, are you guys doing the electric motor thing, like holding over a spot, like when you know, for example, there's some sea bass down there, and there's always a rod over the line for Fluke. How are you guys approaching these?
You put your stern, your backside into the wind, and you have, you don't need a trolling motor because you have a motor that got you down there. Now you learn to work it and bump it in and out of gear, like bump it in reverse to slow your drift down so you stay over that structure and that target area as long as you possibly can. But you still have to move. Like doing zero over a piece of structure is not exactly giving you the best presentation. Mm-hmm. But you got to keep moving just a little bit, and you bump it in and out of gear to slow yourself down to 0.6, 0.5. You know, something like that, even up to 0.8, and you want to keep that line straight up and down. Don't scope it out, because that's how you donate everything to the reef.
Uh-huh.
But it's the spot lock stuff, it's groundbreaking, it's revolutionary, it's fantastic. It's something that, again, even getting the spot lock, you have to put your time in and learn how to use it.
Jerry, I was just going to mention that. Listen, because, you know, a shout-out to Captain Sam Reseda on a Mary M4. Out of Barnicot Lighter, who said to me, Tom, with the electronics today, I could find a patch of cover the size of a shoebox. You put a crab down there, chances are you're going to catch a tog. However, chances are you may not, because, Jerry, the old adage, lead a horse to water, can't make, you know, you have to make it drink.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So same thing with the Fluke. You can be on it. You could have the utmost in equipment, but if the Fluke prefers something else to what you're presenting, you're not going to catch.
Like I said to you today, we were down there for the first hour we were there. We had perfect conditions. And then the wind changed a little bit, made our drift go sideways instead of, you know, say north and south. We were going east and west, and the bite shut down. An hour and a half later, the wind died out. The tide changed. We were back in, and the presentation was correct again. And we were on fish.
And the thing is, Jerry, you know they're down there. That's what's so fun. You know they're there.
Today we bounced around the reef, you know, just kind of to kill time, because we knew the fish were there. We had them for an hour, and we had them good. We knew they were there. We bounced around a little bit, and then, like I said, when conditions changed, because conditions can change literally a half a mile away as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird the way, you know, a front comes in or something, and it's just, you're on this side of it or that side of it. It makes a difference. We moved a mile away. We were picking a couple fish. Soon as them conditions changed again, we went back to where we started today, and it was lights out fishing for another 45 minutes until I knew I had to get home, because I didn't want to miss your call, brother.
Well, Jerry, listen, I appreciate that. Listen, are there any chances where, again, a little later on, late June, July, August, when you will move into shallower areas, are you guys locked in now to the deep and deeper, and that's it, Ski?
No, absolutely not. Like, it'll come through cycles of basically bait. You know, when there's bait offshore, like right now, you could see the bait on the reef today. When that bait starts moving inshore, again, water temperature dependent, I guess, that bait moves inshore to your Wildwood Reef, which is only 4 miles off the beach off of Hereford's.
Yep. What a spot. I love the wildwood in Townsend, man. Oh, my God. And Cape May, Jerry. The Cape May Reef is the largest in the 17 or 18 reef system, isn't it?
I'm not sure if it's
I
the
think
biggest.
So. It is. Yeah, I think so.
It's the hardest, I'm sure, because it gets pounded. There's probably people fishing it today, and there'll be people fishing it all the way through the end of September now. Mm-hmm. And that is, it gets hammered, and ironically, there's times when it's lights out fishing because the bait's there, the fish are going to be there, and that's the biggest thing. Right now, we know that the bait is in the deeper water. It'll come inshore. And once it does, I'll probably the month of July, part of August, taking that 20-mile ride, I'd much rather take an 8-mile ride.
And there you go. Jerry, I don't want to say which inlet it was, but it was an extremely reliable source. Told me that in this one inlet coming through, no mistaking it, there were little squid. Have you ever heard of that? This early?
But you know what? Nothing surprises me anymore, Tom. The water is the cleanest it's ever been.
Right.
Conservation works. You know, different things are definitely you're seeing every year. You see something like I saw one of my buddies posted pictures of triggerfish already, and that's I'm like
that's an. I was just going to ask you that. I live for triggers. I live for triggers. One, they're fun to catch, and two, they're the best eating. Oh my! In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
Sea bass and fluke are good. Give me the triggers. We're speaking with Jerry Vessels. He's the owner of Three Girl Skirts Fishing Tackle LLC, around since 2014, specializing in 2-3 and 4-ounce ultralight minnow style squid jig skirts. He's also the owner, promoter, CEO of Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. We'll get into that a little bit in the next segment. Well, Jerry, now, the bottom structures you're fishing, are you getting your heads down? Are you feeling the bump, bump, thump, drag, whatever? Or are you above the structure? How are you presenting, and what are you presenting?
We are clanging and banging, Tommy. And that is, you're bouncing whatever you're presenting down there. Like today I was using a 2-ounce standard, like, Spro-style jig. My buddy had a 2-ounce ball jig. My buddy Mike Gagliardi, he was using a 1.5-ounce flat fall jig. And I mean, he was catching majority sea bass.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Dennis Big Fish Murphy and I, we caught more fluke, but at the same time, Mike was almost every drop with 1.5-ounce flat fall jig with sea bass.
Jerry, would you say, I've been a proponent of these, sorry, I know you make the heads that you specialize in. I like the ball jigs in certain situations, less of a percentage of snag-ups.
It is the way that the ball jigs can be, you know, presented in numerous ways, but the ball jig molds actually give you an option of putting the eye more towards right at the, instead of coming 90 degrees off the hook, it's either 30 or 60 degrees.
There you go, yeah.
Uh-huh. When you're lifting your line up, it's lifting that head completely up versus lifting the middle of the body up and leaving that part where the head can get jammed into a little hole or something like that. So I think that the ball jigs, they work good, you know, and with everybody going to gulp, ball jig with a bait keeper on it is, you know, now gulp though is costing you an arm and a leg. So,
yeah, Jerry, I was just going to ask you that. On the clanging and banging, listeners, I'll do gulp. I'll do the power stuff. I'll do squid spearing meat. I just want to catch fluke. And Jerry, I was upcoming show list. I just want to drop something down. I'm going to say, okay, let me do a little teaser here. Know a guy, Jerry, he's not unfriendly, but he's not the friendliest. Keyed me in on this. I saw them in the back of his cooler the other day. One, I would say a good 25-inch, and two, just under 18. Listeners, nice. Making bacon. I'll just leave it at that. And Jerry, we'll talk about this off the air sometime. And he says, that's because he came in the shop I happened to be in, just looked for some hooks or something like that, makes his own rigs. How you doing? I'm doing all right. I'd seen him here and there. And go back. What is he? He says, that. And he points to it. And I looked at him. He says, believe it or not. And he shut the back of his, you know, tailgate, and away you went. But we'll get into that in another show, listeners. But Jerry, down there on the clanging and banging, are you strictly a gulper?
No. Like today, gulp was working, and I mean gulp works most of the time. But we also had some strip bait, you know, like mackerel and the spearing, and we caught fish on that as well. And that's where, like, when I just mentioned about gulp getting expensive. You're getting 5-6 inch gulp for $9. It's $8.99. It's a tackle shop. Right. And I believe in supporting all of our local tackle shops because them guys are not getting rich, believe me. So support them guys is important, but also when you're looking at buying spearing and buying squid or your mackerel strips or something like that,
mm-hmm.
getting about out of it. A strip of mackerel, you're getting 6 or 7 baits. You know, you're getting 3 pieces of mackerel or 4 pieces of mackerel on a pack for $5. Throw your spearing in there, and now you're, instead of being $1.25 every time you drop down, it's 50 or 60 cents, which I know personally. I've got 3 kids. I fish with friends. Like, we're all middle-class, blue-collar people, and if I can save $40 at the end of the day on bait,
sure,
because I'm not losing... You know, or the sea bass aren't chewing the tails off the gulp and it's costing me $1.25 every time I drop down. That is something that is important to us. You know, it's a big deal.
Jerry, you mentioned the mackerel strips. I have to have a heartfelt shout out to Eddie Bronstein and Billy Wiggins at Fanatics on West Avenue in Ocean City back in 89 or 90 when I came down to the area. Just a novice, known pretty good on fluke up north, down here. This, I said, no, this is what you want. And gave me, served me some little mackerel strip fillets. What do I do with that? He's drifting the back for flounder. I'm not after winter flounder. I'm after fluke. And they looked at me and they said, that's what we call them down here. And Jerry, let me tell you, in that Great Bay, back through there, ships channel, like, I never, ever, ever caught fluke, one, that early. And two, with that degree of savageness, when they hit that mackerel strip, I never saw anything like it.
Well, they're chasing a mackerel before they wind up in the back. They're chasing a mackerel, and that's what that is in the early season. Mackerel is a go-to because it's oily. It's a little soft, but it's a fantastic all-around bait. And a mackerel with a couple spearing on it in the back bay.
Exactly right. Yeah. Also, as a substitute, listeners, small bluefish strips work almost as well. But Jerry, it was absolutely jaw dropping how these fish. It wasn't the slow pull; it was a thump. Boom!
Shot to the gut. Yeah, that's when you know it's the right one. And again, bluefish. We've fished tournaments where we've gone and specifically targeted bluefish the day before, even a couple days before. You get them around the inlet. Some cocktail blues, the 2 pounders.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Add fresh strip bait like that because the bluefish is a tremendous bait. It's just soft. It's a one and done bait, but at the same time, it's very, very productive.
Okay, Jerry, hang in for another segment. We're speaking with Jerry Vessels talking Cape May fluking situation. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Summertime at the Jersey Shore. The glitz and glamour of Atlantic City's casinos. Jersey's best pizza on the Ocean City Boardwalk. Great rides in Wildwood. And miles of bumper-to-bumper traffic. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 wants to keep you moving with expanded summertime traffic updates Friday afternoon through your ride back Sunday evening. WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
I'm Chris DeMeo. President Biden in North Carolina Friday praising the efforts to revitalize the economy.
There's 300 semiconductors going on automobile. Well, guess what? When we had a problem with the pandemic in Asia, those places shut down. We had to stop making cars.
The president promoting nearly $5 billion in projects in North Carolina alone. A House Republican reacting to the 37-count indictment unsealed against former President Trump.
Based on the whistleblowers that came to Congress, I think the DOJ needs to be looking under other leaves at other people than targeting the main political opponent of the current president.
Missouri Congressman Jason Smith on Fox's Your World with Neil Cavuto. Four children lost in the jungle in Colombia 40 days ago after a plane crash are found alive. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, we'll see clear to partly cloudy skies with a low of 51. Partly sunny skies for Saturday. Saturday's high 83. Saturday night, mainly clear, the low 57. Sunday, partly sunny. We'll reach a high Sunday of 91. For Monday, mostly cloudy, not as warm, couple of heavy afternoon thunderstorms, high 80. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Speaking with Jerry Vessels. Okay, Jerry, nuts and bolts right now. It's going to be a lot shorter segment. You're in the deep water situation, like Reefside 11, Cape May Reef, whatever. Deep water reef. You're targeting the bigger flounder. What size, and it's predicated on subsurface currents, maybe, or top wind currents, what size head are you using?
That's a very tricky question.
That's why I asked you, Vessels.
I'll give it up because you got to remember one thing. It's presentation, and the head doesn't really matter as much as the action that's on the body of the bait. So, again, because of the structure and you're clanging and banging and stuff like that, you want to go as light as you possibly can. Today we were fishing, again, 85 feet of water most of the day, anywhere from an ounce and a half to 3 ounces.
Jerry, yet I see on tackle peg boards, and I've been on boats with guys, and doing all right, guys with 6 ounce, even like 8 ounce, like big spros and stuff. Is that necessary?
No. No, not even close. And, again, you put a teaser on there with – today I had a teaser. It was a 3/8 ounce bucktail and with a 1/0 hook on it. And I caught, I don't know, 6 fluke on it. 2 of them were over 20 inches. So it's again, in that situation, I go back to the old saying of just remember elephants eat peanuts when people tell you big bait, big fish. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. But at the same time, you got to remember it. You go to the zoo, you throw a peanut to the elephant, and a 12,000-pound animal picks up a peanut that he probably doesn't even taste. So,
listeners, he's alluding to me when I walk by a bowl of M&Ms or something. We know that you said that for my benefit, Vessels. I get that. But
no
Jerry,
way.
Jerry, listen to me. And what's been hot the past 2 weeks, again, with the sea bass, but also coming over on the fluke out front, guys are starting to catch them. The bottoms are seem to be paid from, I guess, south of Massachusetts, whatever, all the way down through sand eels everywhere. And I talked to some tackle shop. They can't keep that gulp with silver mud or whatever, some weird color, sand eel on the pegboards. It's crazy. Well, as a teaser, too, these guys are killing them.
Again, matching the hatch, whatever the bait that's out there, you match that profile, the color, it's going to work for you. That's why, like, I keep going back to spearing. Spearing is available from March and through October, November. From the back bay out to the canyon, everything eats it. So spearing is a mainstay. Them sand eels were around, again, they may not have left. I don't know. I know in January we were watching from the boat show, you know, from the expo, we were watching them fishing still. So
yeah. And Jerry, the bluefin that they've hit in close, all packed with sand eels.
Back to a point where their insides were exploding with sand eels.
Well, Jerry, then because I've seen you use match the hatch, yes, but also seen the success, for example, of the, whatever this matches, the curry chicken 6-inch grub, the salmon red, white glow. I mean, matching the hatch, or sometimes it just smells right or looks right, like you said, presentation.
I think that, again, in certain situations, you match the hatch. In other situations, when the snack bar is open out in the wild, they're going to eat. They're opportunistic predators. And if you put something in front of them that looks good, it smells good, they're going to strike at it. because, again, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. They can't go to Wawa.
Again, he said that for my benefit. Because he knows how he likes that lunch menu they have, the box lunches. Whoa, baby, they're cheeseburger. Anyway, Jerry, real fast, and I got to have to get going. Toughest situation, offshore, in a deep water situation. I had to address it. I've had some success, you know, in the back. The wind, the dreaded wind against tide. You have one afternoon to fish. You're out there. That's the situation it is. And I know you've caught fish under those conditions and some damn nice flatties. How do you attack that? What's your strategy?
Wind against the tide when you're offshore is, again, it can actually work in your benefit because you want to slow your drift down as much as you can, but still cover ground. Like I said, you keep it at that 0.5, something like that, you know, where you're not flying. So if you have that wind against the tide and it's slowing you down, it's actually going to help you. You just got to keep the boat straight. If it's going too much, the wind is going to, you know, again, keep the boat straight into it. And now instead of bumping in reverse to slow your drift down, you're going to power drift and bump forward. It's not something, it's something you got to master, the back trolling. Then the bumping forward is something completely different. And the boat acts differently and everything else because now instead of turn to or stern to, you're bow to. And the boat acts differently in the wind, but it's a productive feature. It's also something that if it's going to be that windy and you're doing something like that, go cut the grass.
That's vintage vessels, people.
Because but seriously, and even like said, when you're talking about the guys with the 6 and 8 ounce jig heads and all that
they're
stuff.
They're like cannonballs, man. Holy God.
You're dragging sash weights. That's literally going back to the 70s, 80s, 90s, where you put an 8 ounce dipsy on and a 3 foot leader and you had your, you know, big strip feed out there and you were drifting open bottom. You use an 8 ounce weight. When you're in 60 feet of water with braided line or 80 feet of water with a braided line and you're basically straight up and down as much as you can, you just don't need something that big. And again, like when you have equipment that is meant to handle 8 ounces or 10 ounces of lead, it takes a toll on your body today. Like I had Dennis Big Fish Murphy, the guy's 75-year-old retired crane operator. He had a little spinning rod in his hand. Today he's using an ounce and a half all day, and he's like, you know what? I feel great.
Yeah, there you go.
The conventional reel. He said it was tough, but at the end of the day, after 5-6 hours, my wrist doesn't hurt. My arm doesn't hurt.
Jerry, you aggressively, like to the point of tendonitis type jigging, like tennis elbow type jigging, or are you a slower under that wind against tide conditions, or is it a slower lift and drop?
No, it's kind of like the looking at Farrah Fawcett in the 70s type motion.
The deviant ingredient for sure.
Yes, we're keeping it clean, family show. But no, you got to have action on it, Tom. A little erratic action where it looks like your jig or your jig head looks like that wounded bait fish or, you know, the fish that's kind of getting lost in the current or bouncing up and down. Mm-hmm. So you need some action on it. And I feel, and even that, it's literally a twitch of the wrist. It's not something that you're going really up and down, hardcore motion on it. It's just twitching your wrist.
Okay, Jerry, on this then, before we get to, I want to talk to about the expo for a couple of minutes. Grub, paddle tail, or nemesis, or mullet, bigger baits, under those conditions?
Grub all day long.
Fair enough. Okay, Jerry, let's talk Expo. Listeners, the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo, first week in January, kicks it off. Jerry, last year, hats off to you. Had you in the studio a couple of times. That show was beyond our expectations, man. You really grand slammed it, bro.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate them kind words, Tom. It was a great show. I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed putting it on. It's definitely a labor of love. And then this year we've expanded because last year we had 7 boat dealers and over 50 boats on display with wave runners and trailers and jet skis, all that stuff, all wave or jet boats and everything else. This year we're working on, we've expanded to 75,000 square feet from 60,000 last year. So again, we're keeping it fresh. We're coming to you with everything that we need to have a successful season. All the new stuff that's out there, and some of the new stuff's out there, is absolutely mind-blowing.
Scary, so, yeah. Yep. Oh, Jerry, listen, I was surprising that early, but I don't know, your sales motto was whatever, sign now, get on the water. Sign in January, get on the water in June. But lovely D. Marie and I, we watched some deals being made, like people signing on the dotted line.
It was good. Figure it this way, Tom. When the boat dealers are the first ones to get in line to come back, they're making money. They're selling boats. They're selling services. They're selling motors. They're doing everything that they should be doing. And like I said, when they're the ones telling me, hey, this is a great show, had a fantastic show, what they're getting out of it is letting me know. And they were apprehensive as well, saying, first week in January is tough right after the holidays. What are people thinking? And I said, I know what I'm thinking after the holidays.
That was it.
Thank God the holidays are over. It's time to get to work.
And Jerry, the thing too is you had great flow in there, but listen, it's clothing, tackle. I mean, it was across the board, Jerry. It was a good show. So listen, about 3 or 4 days after the show, I happened to be down in the Wildwood area. Hey, Jerry, want to go out and grab a pizza and a beer or something? Canton PM. What do you mean you're working at night? He says, I'm already working on a 2024 show. And there you go. And my lovely D. Marie says something like that, promote that. It's a 360. You don't get a breather. It's 364 for Christmas morning. I'll give you that. And then that's it. Yeah.
Christmas morning.
Well, Jerry, good luck. We're looking forward to seeing you in the studio again, and also at that 2024 Expo. Listen, it's going to be a monster. It's the first one on the calendar, and especially for South Jersey, you can't beat it. You got salt water. You got some fresh water. You got boats. Great seminar lineup. Last year, Honoszewski knocked it out of the park, Jerry.
It was good. Nick was a superstar and an ultimate professional. Nick was good to have around. Grant, again, that like local flavor and flair is something really like to promote, because I'm a local guy. I live and work here. I'm not from out of town. I'm not some fancy degree somewhere in marketing that says this is a great area. This is a great area because I live here and I know the area. So, and I know the fishermen. I know the boaters. I have friends in the marine industry. I have friends, family that make their living off the water. I try to spend as much time in the water as I can. Like, I'm a regular guy.
Lizards, nuts and bolts, Jerry Vessels. Jerry, you take care. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. And like I said, I'll be on a dock with my crab trap and light spinning rod. And you and D. Marie get out to the deep and bring home some fluke. You got that?
I certainly hope so. So you keep promising. And the door is always open, Tommy.
And she keeps saying, when are we going fishing with Jerry? I said, you're going fishing with Jerry. I'm hanging on the dock. Jerry, we'll see you guys in a week or so. You take care.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. Have a great day.
See you, brother. Jerry Vessels fishing Cape May fluke. I'll tell you, I'm good. I catch my share from a boat, from the bank, from the jetties. But at Cape May, it's always been vexing. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
It's Harry Hurley. If you're considering senior living options for yourself or a loved one, I recommend United Methodist Communities at the Shores in Ocean City. Transitioning to the Shores could not be easier. Move in, unpack, and experience the abundant life the Shores has to offer. I'm a nurse dad, and I've seen assisted living communities up close. The Shores is not what you expect when you hear assisted living. It's fully remodeled with private apartments, 2 beautiful restaurants, and a bistro. There's on-site fitness center offering personal one-on-one and group classes and transportation to local shopping. Best of all, a stroll of 3 short blocks, and you're on the famous Ocean City Boardwalk and Beach at the Shores. chores, you or your family member will enjoy a resort lifestyle with rich, meaningful connections and robust community life offerings, plus a full continuum of care. To learn about United Methodist Communities at the Shores in Ocean City, call 609-399-8505. That's 609-399-8505.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, there for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of June 10th and 11th. That was Jerry Vessel talking. I just wanted to do a whole show, Cape May County Fluke, and it is a challenge, but time for a quick fishing report. It's been happening. It's just been happening. It's actually Burlington County. Saltwater report there. A little place called Allen's Dock on the Bass River. You know, the tributary of the Mullica, and there's been some activity going on there. Join us on the line right now, a good, cool guy, too, Justin the Thunder Fino, with a report from Allen's Dock, Route 9 in New Greta. Thunder, how's it going, little brother?
Well, we're coming with a little lightning today there, Tom P.
Hey, man, he is good. Justin, what's on it? You were talking weekies, you were talking stripers, you were talking jumbo white perch. You are in a hotbed of activity, brother. We have a minute. Let's go. What do you got?
Yeah, we're pretty much, if you want some type of fish out here, we can get it for you.
The fluke bites. It's scary, man. It's scary, yeah, where you are.
The bluefish are blitzing like mad all over the bay and even into the river some spots. A lot of bait fish, man. A lot of bait fish means a lot of fish, like, they're coming in to eat, which is a good spot for our fishery.
Justin, you mentioned the weeks, and I saw some images. Best caps. Listen, we're not burning a spot here. This is public water, but you got some exemplary week fishing going on there, Thino.
Yeah, it's been really, really good. It's one of those things where you can't really tell people because the weekies is such a rare commodity to come by. And when you only get one, you know, guys are very protective of their spots. But if you know where to go, there's some good week fish happening, that's for sure.
Listen to me, you selling cheddar?
Not far from us, I'll tell you that.
You selling cheddar? You have it in stock?
I try not to tell people I'm selling cheddar because I can't keep up with the demand.
Well, Justin, what about this torrid white perch bite going on?
Yeah, the perch bite's always good around here. My whole life I lived here in New Gretna, and I never, ever had a trouble finding any perch. I'll tell you that. And we got bloodworms. We keep them all year. And, you know, between that and every once in a while we have some grass shrimp, you can clean up on some nice-sized perch.
We're speaking with Justin the Thunder Thino down there, Allen's Dock, Route 9 in New Gretna, actually Burlington County, where it extends across the street and just touches the Jersey Shore. Justin, real fast, Mullica and Great Bay, throw out a decent fluking area. Don't burn, but general, you know, throwing that out there.
I mean,
what do you got?
You know the racetrack there that is the ICW. If you're going to find some holes around there, you know that you see the boats lined up. There's no secrets. I mean, that whole area is pretty loaded up with fish. And if you explore that area and the areas surrounding it and look for what you're looking for is hills, lumps.
Yeah,
little deep holes where the fish are hiding and waiting for the bait to go over top. If you see something like that, you should probably try to fish it and float some bait over top.
Now you got
a good thing for you.
You got the Achilles and spearing in stock, correct?
We have two different types of spearing. We have more Achilles than you could ever imagine. Probably, I'm always in stock with Achilles. I have them. They're in good size. They're in good quantity.
Hey, listeners, he has the Ninja Achilles, and then he has the MMA Achilles. They approach the flounder two different ways. Justin, take care. By the way, how is Big GK?
You know Big GK is doing good. He's here in the yard today. He's pointing his finger around, making sure the work gets done. And, you know, there's never a dull moment with the big guy around.
See, Justin, you take care. We'll see you guys next week.
See you, Tom.
See you, brother. Yeah, man, that little Bass River area is a hotbed. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Good afternoon. Enjoy. A little bumpy out there. Front day, I win, but what are you going to do? Again, we were in here Friday afternoon because we are fishing the whole weekend. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Cape May fluking? Think you're good? Give it a shot, Flighty Meisters. See you next week.